Welcome to Inside the MFL. I'm your host, Richard Miles. Hey, the Mouth of the South is not here today with me. He's on special assignment, Fred Smoot, Mr. Football himself. But I got a treat for you today. I got Gary Digital Williams here and Kelsey Kaden Nelson. Hey, what's going on?
All right, Miles, thanks for joining us here on Inside the MFL alongside Kelsey Nicole Nelson. I'm Gary Digital Williams, and have a lot to talk about, of course, with the MFL, but a lot to talk about all in the world of sports, Kelsey. Should be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, there's so much going on. What an action-packed show we have today. I can't wait to get into it. So, I mean, let's get into it.
And you can join us by joining us 202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. We'll talk NBA Finals. We'll talk that ridiculous Mayweather-McGregor fight coming up
That's crazy. That's definitely
and
crazy.
A lot more right here on Inside the MFL. But, of course, it is the MFL. So, Mr. Miles, what's the update on the MFL going forward?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, we're constantly out there. We got a couple of new franchisees. We're not going to discuss it right now, but it's right in the area. As you know, we're putting the Baltimore Colts back up in Baltimore, so everybody kind of excited about that. Also, you know, we got New Jersey, and we're trying to right now get the Mid-Atlantic together in terms of the division. So everything looking really good right now, Gary.
So you look at Mid-Atlantic, you're talking New Jersey. That's a big market. I mean, you've got the Giants in the area, of course, but the Jets play in the Meadowlands as well. But I mean, just so much going on in that area. So it's a big move for the MFL to get New Jersey.
Well, hey, you know, we're excited about that, and you're right about that. But we also have to look at Philly. You know, we got Philly. You know, we got Baltimore. We got Washington. We got Atlanta, we got North Carolina, South Carolina. So we're in some pretty big markets there, but we're definitely excited about going up in New Jersey. But then again, that's just the tip of the iceberg, if you know what I mean, Gary.
No question about that.
And I mean, I hear you say all these huge cities, North Carolina, South Carolina, and huge states. Tell us, how did you select those cities? And is there a way that fans can bring the MFL to their specific cities if they want football in the summer?
Absolutely. Well, we're talking to a lot of different groups in these different venues, and we look at the economic part of it. You know, we're looking at, you know, we know a lot of cities have a lot of problems as far as jobs and stuff. So what city we think will have the MFL will have the biggest impact in terms of economic development. And these are some of the cities from the feasibility report we did. Great job, Fred Smoot, and some of our staff did. These are the cities, you look at a city also in the South, or you look at Alabama, but not getting away from the question. These are the types of cities that the MFL feel that we will have the biggest impact.
All right, sounds good. So we're looking forward for great things from the Minor Football League inside the MFL. And of course, you'll hear all these updates every single week right here on Inside the MFL. Well, there's so much going on in the world of sports. We talk about just this week. This week has been a tremendous week for sports. And I guess the headline, like Kelsey, we got to talk about the NBA Finals, something that, tell you the truth, in the Williams household, we didn't see much of it. And I'll explain why in a moment. But a lot of households saw it because the ratings, especially for Game 5, up 20% from last year.
I am not surprised. I mean, we all wanted to see if LeBron could make that comeback. We remember last year when they came back from 3-1. I mean, I remember being at Game 7. I'm still in shock, honestly, about last year. But what a Game 5 it was. Warriors just had their parade. I mean, there's so much to celebrate.
Yeah. Kevin Durant. Let me just say that. Kevin Durant made a difference. Y'all might not agree with me. A lot of people don't like the fact that they feel that, and, you know, and I cut you off, Miss Nelson, the fact that the guy went for a ring. I don't think that that's a bad thing.
Well, considering LeBron did it a few years ago when he went to Miami. I mean, this is not an issue to me.
Don't set the double standard.
No, it's not an issue. I mean, Kevin Durant can do what Kevin Durant wants to do. We're going to talk a lot about money here tonight.
Yes.
Because a lot of things we're talking about deal with money. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, Kevin Durant went to further his career. And that's what people do in the sports business these days. They further their career the best way they know how.
And for
Kevin Durant to move to Golden State and play with a great ball club and win a championship, he achieved his goal.
Thank you, because the Wizards definitely did. We want him to come back home. I don't know about y'all.
Well, everybody wants him to come back.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I know Miss Nelson was going to say that, but, you know, no one said anything when LeBron went to put that, what you call it, the Big Four together. No one said anything about that, but all of a sudden they mad with Kevin Durant because he wanted to go get a ring.
It's ridiculous.
Right. And I, like you said, LeBron did it before. And let me add this to the fact. Kevin Durant is the third player to win finals MVP in his first year with the team. He joins a great company, Magic Johnson, 1980 with the Lakers, and Moses Malone.
I know him.
Go back to 1983 with the 76ers. It's been done before. And the man said it, and he got the ring. You have to be happy for him. Stop hating. Kevin Durant, LeBron started this super team thing. People are getting mad about Kevin Durant going, who doesn't want a ring?
Right.
I knew me and her was going to get along.
We look at rings. We count rings.
Absolutely.
Kevin Durant
absolutely.
Now, when he goes into the Basketball Hall of Fame, guess what? He at least is going to have one ring.
There you go. It didn't take him as long to do it as people like Julius Erving, for example.
Yep.
Thank you.
Who came
almost
to the 76ers.
Missed it.
And yeah, he came to the 76ers in 1977. Had a tough time didn't beat Portland in 77, couldn't get past the Bullets in 78. I mean, it finally took him until Moses got there for him to get
absolutely.
That ring. For Moses
absolutely.
To get there.
And let's also talk about, I mean, he's getting a ring with great players next to him and was still able to win MVP with four Olympians that you have on your team, two league MVPs. I mean, Kevin Durant, he helped the Warriors get this ring this year. Because
absolutely.
Otherwise, we
thank
might have been
you.
In this
I'm glad somebody
like
agreed
last
with
year,
me.
Where Cleveland was able to come back. I mean, look at his numbers. He averaged 35.2 points per game. That's ridiculous in the
finals.
There you go. 8.4 rebounds per game. I mean, he did it all. Assists. Kevin Durant was everywhere on the court that he needed to be. He was healthy. Steph Curry and company, they loved having him by their side. So I don't think they're complaining. He got his ring. Mama Durant's
and
happy.
Helped
we're
him
happy
get
for
ring.
Him in the DMV. He shouted us out in his post-game interview. I don't think there's anything else to say. Rest your case, people. Just be happy for him.
202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. Grab a line and give us your thoughts on Kevin Durant. Give us your thoughts on LeBron James and the debate between who's better between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I mean, there's so much about this. And give us your thoughts on whether or not you watch the NBA Finals. Now, if you're like me, you've got a problem with how the NBA works right now. The way the NBA game is played, it is so perimeter-oriented right now that, for me, it is a very hard game to watch. See, I'm older than Kelsey.
Yeah.
So,
I'm older than everybody.
I think more than a little bit. Thank you very much.
I'm older than everybody. Don't start that, girl.
Here's the thing. I grew up in the era of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, of Bob Lanier, of Moses Malone, of Elvin Hayes, Wes Unseld, where a lot of the basketball came through the front court. It came down through the low post. And all I'm seeing now is guys shooting from the perimeter, and they're all over the place. And even if you play the video game version of the NBA, all their game, the fake team I have
absolutely.
In the video game, Everybody shoots from the perimeter. No one shoots from the inside. It's ridiculous.
No one plays inside. No low post game.
Yeah. It's true. Like, you miss really the position, I think, of a center now because it's completely changed.
Absolutely.
And that's why Steph Curry is who he is today, because he's a shooter. We all play basketball on basketball courts. You always had that one shooter. Right. Nowadays, the NBA is all
about
the
street basketball.
Right. I mean, and that's all the big players. Those are the guys getting the shoe contracts. I mean, thank gosh Kevin Durant, you know, is able to play all over the court.
Yeah, exactly.
But right, nowadays, you're not able to do that. And I mean, I think that's why Tristan Thompson got so much just hate, because what people wanted him to do in that post, he was not able to do.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it was Chloe or whoever, but.
Oh, there you go. It's the Kardashian and curse. You know what it is. we're not going to give, but you know that's what it is. You know, they turn Kris Jenner into a woman. So, hey, I'll leave that alone there.
But back to the debate. And again, it's hard to debate for me, LeBron and MJ.
Yes.
I mean, Michael Jordan. You're talking two different eras.
Different era. Absolutely.
Two different eras of basketball, going back to the perimeter versus the front court. I mean, the front court, I mean, Jordan had Bill Cartwright. I mean, he had Luke Longley. I mean, they weren't tremendous players, but you needed them in the low post because they helped free up the Jordans and the Pippins and the Steve Kerrs and the Craig Hodges. I mean, it's such a different game right now. It's so hard to decide who's better between the two, I believe, anyway.
I know now people are saying, okay, LeBron's 32. Mm-hmm. They're comparing him to when Jordan is 32. But people also forget when Jordan took the 18 months off after winning his three titles to do what?
He went to play baseball.
I ain't mad at him.
But he's MJ, so we don't criticize him for that. But like you said, it's two different eras. The game is played completely different. I think before now, refs, every time you touch a guy, sometimes you get the foul call.
Exactly.
It's softer, I have to say, even though I'm a huge basketball fan. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. I hate when people keep trying to compare them. Let them be great in their own times, obviously. They're both going to go into history, but they also both have different game styles.
Yeah.
Right? So I think just cut it out. Cut out the nonsense. I think we can say LeBron is the GOAT playing right now.
Yeah, he's the greatest of his era.
Exactly.
Greatest of his time.
And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. We tend to compare players, but we forget the different eras. And you know, they just talking to them. You know, they're not people that know anything about sports. They're couch spectators. So, yeah. So, you know, it's just a different, you know, game now.
Yes.
No question about that. 202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. Grab a line. Have a lot to talk about. The NBA Finals. You can join us with that as well. But,
really quick, I want to get into also LeBron James made headlines yesterday, even though we were all celebrating the Warriors parade. He finally shaved his head. I mean,
I shaved my head a long time ago. Nobody made a big deal out of it.
Everybody's making a big deal out of it. I mean, some people wanted him to hold on to what he had left.
Let it go.
He finally let it go. And of course, but you know, there's some beef also, and I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this. So Draymond Green, I don't know if you guys saw in the parade, he had a shirt that said Quickie. And obviously referring to the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. And basically saying how fast they beat him. Right? And then LeBron James, who I saw the other day, they both wore the number 23 shirt, saying he's the greater of the two. So, I mean, does Draymond Green even have clout to fight with someone like LeBron James?
He has two rings.
Right.
That's what he has. But he doesn't have the stats. He doesn't have the talent. He doesn't have the name that LeBron James has. That's another reason why I have a problem with the NBA. A lot of what the NBA is dealing with now is a lot of pettiness within the ranks of the league. And it is really tough and difficult to watch it on that angle because of that.
Yeah, well, you know, we get these guys that all of a sudden they are gorillas when we know there ain't no killers out there.
Yeah.
So you get people like that. He's a puzzle and he's a piece in a puzzle that works for them. But if he had the credit weight on his shoulder, we know he couldn't do it. Put him on any other team, he would not have them two rings.
No question about it.
Nicole Nelson.
I can agree with that. You know, I'm not a Warriors fan, even though I love going out to Oakland.
Saying that because you went to the championship last year. She just got
to
throw that in there. You
noticed that, Garrett?
We wasn't that fortunate.
Let's stay around California. We're going to move up a little bit to Las Vegas. And Gary, I want you to introduce this. I mean, something big is happening in Vegas.
I think it's crazy. This is crazy. This is ludicrous.
Let me say this first of all. What's going to happen in August affects a number of boxing matches in and around that area, including the one that'll take place tomorrow at the Mandalay Bay Events Center for the rematch between Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev. Now, today they both weighed in. They both weighed in right at the weight limit, light heavyweight weight limit, 175 pounds. But that bout and the September 16th bout between Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin will both be impacted by what's going to take place on Saturday, August 26th from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And that is, I think, one of the biggest shams in boxing that I've seen in a long time. And that is the bout between Floyd Mayweather and MMA superstar Conor McGregor. Now,
it's
major problems.
Absolutely.
I'm a boxing guy. I have a blog, a Boxing joke. Along the Beltway, and I'm a boxing guy. Boxing fans and pure hardcore boxing fans, to everyone I've talked to, have a major problem with this event. Here's why. Number one, the majority of commissions in this country would not sanction this bout. Here's
why. Oh, I didn't realize that.
You've got a guy that's 49-0 and has been out for a couple years facing a guy that has never had a pro boxing bout in his life.
It just goes to show you, people do what they want to do.
Nevada is sanctioning it purely because of money.
Moolah,
this whole thing is geared around money. Okay? I've got a good friend in this area. He wrote an article. His name is Bruce Babashian. And Bruce is a trainer in Silver Spring, Maryland. And he wrote a beautiful column that you need to read on either eastsideboxing.com or boxinginsider.com. As a coach, saying how he will sit this bout out. Because he's got a guy, he mentioned a guy that he trains by the name of Alexandru Marin. He doesn't mention him in the article, but that's who it is. I know that's who it is. He's from Romania originally. And he's currently 13-0 and has won a minor regional title. But the struggles he's had to get to this point is something Conor McGregor, on a boxing standpoint, will never have to see. Okay?
See.
I have a problem with that. I do too many boxing shows where I see a lot of guys, and there's another boxer who's originally from Kazakhstan who trains up here in Southwest Washington, by the name of Shingiskan Tazabai. He walked up to the Bald Eagle Recreation Center here in D.C. and said, I wanted to be a headbanger. But he wanted to do the struggle to get into it. So it's just so much going on. So I have more to say about it in just a moment.
It's all money, girl.
202 is all about money. 202-889-9797. We have a call on the line. Thanks for joining us here on Inside the MFL.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
What can we do for you?
You have a comment for us?
This is Rasheed Goldring. I met Mr. Miles not too long ago through a mutual friend about the MFL and, you know, the opportunity that it is. And she told me you're going to be on the radio today. So I called in.
Oh, okay. Great.
Great, great. Good to have you on board. Definitely good to have you on board.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, the MFL has a great history. I mean, if you know nothing else about the MFL, we're talking about the likes of Eric Swan, who made it from the MFL to the Arizona Cardinals. So that's part of the great history of this league.
Right.
Good enough. Good enough. All right. Well, good to have you on board. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. We're 202-889-9797. And we've been talking about the NBA Finals. We also talked about Mayweather McGregor. Now, again, Conor McGregor, and people have already said it online, he's been up against boxers in sparring section, boxers
that
in sparring section.
That don't get it, though,
and
girl.
Has
you
not
know that.
Done very well.
Right.
Okay?
History's going to repeat itself.
And here's the other aspect of it. Most debuting boxers go into a four-round, they may do a six-round bout. This is a bout scheduled for 12 rounds.
Right.
And that's what I don't understand.
And make matters worse, even in MMA, you only go 3 5-minute rounds.
There you go.
So you're only doing 15 minutes where you're looking at a possible 36 minutes if it gets that far, which it won't. Come on, it won't go that far. Against a guy that, like LeBron James, may be the greatest of his era.
Right.
Even after a couple years hiatus,
yep.
Floyd Mayweather is considered the greatest of his era. Now, I do not say, and people have challenged me on this, I do not think he's the greatest of all time.
I
think he's the greatest of his era.
Right.
And there's a difference.
And absolutely, guy, I want to ask you this question. Why do they, You know, I understand it's about money, but let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is going to kick Mayweather. He's going to forget because, you know, he's used to that kickboxer. He's going to forget. I guarantee you he's going to either bite him, headbutt him, watch, and get disqualified. Well, I guarantee you that's going to happen.
Well, here's the thing. If he kicks Mayweather, not only will he get disqualified, mm-hmm. he'll get sued.
Right.
Because that's in the contract.
That's my concern.
Right.
That's my concern.
No, that's in the contract.
And I like to put this to you also. I think all this is making someone that's really not significant at all a millionaire.
Yeah, well.
That I feel that, why don't they just put the money together and say the winner takes all?
Yeah, they could do that.
But you know they're not going to do it. Too many people getting a piece of this pie.
No question. But
that's why they're doing it. Mm-hmm. It's a big payday for a lot of people. That's why Vegas is letting it go on,
exactly.
Right? Everybody wants to get paid. They said Floyd can make, what, 9 figures?
Mm, exactly.
Coming out of retirement, even though Floyd has a lot of money, who doesn't want 9 figures?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the money.
The one who hasn't boxed, as you said, mm-hmm. Has never went 12 rounds. I mean, he's used to doing the self kick, scooting back, right. In MMA, UFC type mm-hmm. Fighting. Floyd's not going to, he's going to be relentless on him. But of course,
absolutely.
We know he's going to have to go a little bit easy so we can get our money's worth, right?
Exactly.
The pay-per-view can get theirs money.
I wouldn't give him the money's worth. I'd get rid of him quick.
And I've seen a number of boxers who've tried to transfer over from the MMA and Muay Thai and some other things. And while they don't forget, like they stay within the Marcus of Queensbury rules,
mm-hmm.
but you can tell they're lacking in the experience factor of doing that. Okay.
Right.
Now, a lot of folks are comparing this to what took place almost 41 years ago now. In fact, it'll be 41 years ago next week. And this was a slightly different situation between Muhammad Ali and a professional wrestler by the name of Antonio Inoki. Now, this took place in Tokyo, Japan in June of 1976. Now, again, professional wrestling we know is stage and everything, but that was supposed to be, quote unquote, a real bout. And for 15 rounds, Inoki basically laid on his back and kicked at Ali's legs
yeah,
so badly that
so
Ali
bad.
Had to go
yeah.
to the hospital because he had blood clots
right.
on his legs. But here's the difference. Here's the big difference. Prior to the bout itself, which didn't sell well and had to get a couple of professional wrestling bouts and one other boxing wrestling bout between Andre the Giant and Chuck Wepner on the card to have it sell anything. They brought Bruno Sammartino off of an injury to fight Stan Hansen in a rematch, and that's what really sold that card. But one of the things they did with Ali was they had him train with professional wrestlers. They had him actually compete against professional wrestlers. So at least, if nothing else, it gave the appearance that Ali could be ready for a major star
right.
like Antonio Inoki was at that time.
Okay.
They're not giving McGregor any opportunity to fight a boxer in even a four-round bout, even an exhibition
That's
bout.
That's what I say. It doesn't make sense.
To see
I don't understand.
What he could possibly do against a professional boxer.
Right.
And that's where hardcore fans are really just going, like me, just going ballistic over this because it's foolishness. It's foolishness.
Crazy.
So if you want to see some real boxing, I suggest you head to Baltimore, Maryland tomorrow afternoon, actually, 5 o'clock Eastern time, when you've got a great boxing card at the Burns Arena in Baltimore, Maryland on Boston Street. One of the great female boxers coming up right now. In fact, she's in a two-time...
You heard that, right?
Two-time, two-division world champion by the name of Tyra Shea, Lady Tiger Douglas. She's out of Washington, D.C.,
okay.
Trains in Baltimore. Her brother's an outstanding boxer, Antoine Action Douglas. And Tyra Shea is putting up her Universal Boxing Federation, which is a legitimate women's title, bantamweight title, against a lady by the name of Ebony Rivera out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, by way of North Carolina. No, I'm sorry. She's from North Carolina by way of Pennsylvania. And it'll be a 10-round bout, and that could steal the show right off the bat. It's the main event, but it could steal the entire card at the Burns Arena in Baltimore. Shabazz Brothers Promotions does a great job there, 5 o'clock Eastern time. So if you want to see some great boxing, you've got that card, but you also, of course, have Ward Kovalev tomorrow night on pay-per-view with Guillermo Rigondeaux in the co-feature there. 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797. That's how you reach us right here on Inside the MFL. Gary Digital Williams alongside Kelsey Nicole Nelson and, of course, our host, Mr. Richard Miles. And we have so much going on this year. I mean, we got so much going on. We can talk about NFL in a few moments as well, and we have a lot to talk about right here. Once again, the number 202-889-9797 right here on Inside MFL on We Act Radio.
Do something. They do the dog, y'all.
Friends, David Schuster here, and all of us at WEAC Radio are so proud of our neighbors here in Southeast D.C., especially one of our partners, The Arc. The Arc is at 1901 Mississippi Avenue Southeast. It's the home to some of Washington's best, including the Washington Ballet, the Levine School of Music, Boys and Girls Club, and the Children's Health Project. All provide a number of programs and services within the very same facility. The Arc is also home to the Arc Theater, the only theater east of the river, which hosts a variety of dance, music, and theatrical shows each year. Almost everything you could want is at the Arc, so stop by and see them. The Arc, 1901 Mississippi Avenue in Southeast. For more information, visit The Arc's website, www.thearcdc.org, or call 202-889-5901. The Arc, part of Southeast D.C.
It's Eddie Edwards, inviting you to the biggest Caribbean food festival at the DMV on Sunday, June 18th, the Grace Jamaican Jerk Festival at the festival grounds at RFK Lot 6, the Grace Jamaican Jerk Festival, a day of food, family, fun, and culture, live entertainment by Taurus Riley, Romaine Burger, Queen Ifrika, Bungie Garden, Fan Lines, Image Band, Rash Lick, and much more. Enjoy the tastiest Caribbean food, celebrity cook-off, culinary demonstrations, the Kids Zone, and more. Buy tickets online at dcjerkfestival.com. Our Ticketmasters. Make sure you check it out. Sunday, June 18th, the festival grounds at RFK, the Grace Jamaican Jerk.
Grindstone Universal, clothing that exemplifies the epitome of urban luxury. At Grindstone Universal, our goal is to express motivating forces creatively through clothing. Our approach to quality and expression is simple. Where progress is made, truth is revealed. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at @grind_stone. And like us on Facebook at Grindstone Universal. Also, check us out online at grindstoneuniversal.com.
I'm Don Folden with Capital Buddy Tours. Have you ever wondered why we have no African-American tours in D.C.? Well, finally, we have two premier African-American tours, the D.C. Underground Railroad Tour and the D.C. Black History Night Tour. Come and let us show you historical events in D.C. where slaves were either housed or sold in the shadows of the Capitol. You'll see places where the Pearl Affair happened. And we're proud to say we're the only tour in D.C. that visits a cemetery where slaves actually hid on their way north to the Underground Railroad. Go to Viator.com and book yours today. That's Viator.com and book yours today. The D.C. Underground Railroad Tour and the D.C. Black History Night Tour.
Can understand why we treat each other Hi, I'm Patrick Ewing. I'm here giving something back to the community. I went to school here. I lived here in the community. You know, I have an office here on Minnesota Avenue. I always loved D.C., you know, just trying to give something back to the community of Ward 8 in this community or from around the country. React Radio, do something.
Stay tuned to WEAC Radio, Washington, D.C.'s only independent radio station. Catch us online at weacradio.com.
You're from the top. 1, 2. My mic sound nice. Check 1. My mic sound nice. Check 2. My mic sound nice. Check 3. Are you ready?
Welcome back to Inside the MFL. I'm your host, Richard Miles. Hey, we got something going on here today. We got a pretending boxing match. I'm going to say that, Gary, because you know it's a disgrace. We got Kelsey Kanan Nelson, Nicole Nelson. You know, she's one of them stars, the up-and-coming stars in the DMV area and across the country. She was just here early, just bragging about going to the championship game last year. You was bragging. Wasn't she, Gary? Can't afford to make all these trips. Yes, she did. Hey, Gary, she was just bragging about going there. But I tell you what, like I tell everybody else, I ain't had no dog in the fight. But I say this to you, I'm glad LeBron just let it go. See, I mean, I got a ball here, too. I mean, hey, Gary, I mean, we've been cutting our hair for years. Not ball headed. I keep telling people, they think I'm ball headed for some reason or another, but I shaved this because I look better this way. Okay. But people assume that, we fighting things,
Why do you think it took them so long to let it go then?
Well,
since being bald is so great, according to you.
Well, I mean, he got tired of dyeing his hair. His hairline was that. At half of his head. I love the guy. The guy's a heck of an athlete, as you know. I'm quite sure y'all agree with me on that.
Oh, no,
but sometimes let it go. Let it go. I mean, I guess some people can't look as sexy as me sometimes with bald hair, but let it go. Let it go. I know you're laughing at that. All right, Kelsey.
Now we'll transition to somebody with a nice head of hair. We're going to move to Washington. We're going to talk about Doug Williams, who I know Miles knows. I'm very excited about, who will be joining the Washington Redskins front office, and as some call Washington's team, right? Mm-hmm. As Mr. Gary Digital Williams, football team. But he's going to be the senior VP of player personnel. I know my dad and me are very excited. Every Grambling State alumni, I'm an honorary one since my dad
was there. Arizona State,
and I go there all the time. Okay. They were very excited for this move because they thought it should have been, long held for Doug Williams. He won the Super Bowl.
I find it interesting that they didn't give him the general manager.
Yeah,
That's what I thought they were going to announce.
It's weird, because again, I'm old and I'm historian.
Come on now you're talking about me. Guy,
Here's the thing. Bobby Mitchell, for so many years,
absolutely,
was the assistant GM.
And that was
Bobby Mitchell, the legendary Washington football team player, in order for him to, for Washington to play at RFK Stadium, back then DC Stadium, he had to be a part of the team.
Absolutely.
Because that's how the Washington football team became the last team to integrate in the National Football League. Be as it may, they never could give, once Bobby Bethard left, they never could give Bobby Mitchell that general manager spot. And although I'm very happy for Doug Williams, and I'm happy to see he'll be an increased presence within the walls of FedEx Field next year during football games, why couldn't they give him the title outright? I mean, vice president, player personnel is a great move, and you'll see him in draft day, and he'll be a part of what's going on, which is great.
Dog and pony show.
And that's what it sounds like to me. And for me, the entire league is a dog and pony show right now.
Well, that's why you had the MFL.
Right.
But, to allude back to the question, what you were saying, Gary, absolutely. In the 80s and early 90s with the Redskins, with their heydays, you notice their coaching staff was a lot of Hall of Famers.
Good point.
Charlie Taylor. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yep.
Joe Lavender.
Mm-hmm.
Think about these guys that they had coaching the receivers. Now you got somebody a part of that organization, someone that been there and did that.
Right.
So you had a great relationship between the players and the coaches at that time. And you have to give it to Joe Gibbs. Smart move.
Oh, no question.
Absolutely.
Because he knew who Doug Williams was
right.
when he was with Tampa Bay, when they were both at Tampa Bay. He knew who he was.
Yep.
So he knew what kind of player that Doug Williams had the potential to be, even at that advanced age.
Absolutely.
And it was an amazing move. And I think Doug will do a lot. Williams will do a lot for the football team. I hope he can do something to try to get Kirk Cousins under some semblance of a contract somewhere
yeah.
along the line. But I think he'll do a good job in player personnel. I think he with his background, being a former college coach at Grambling.
Right. He coached high school. I mean, he has so much
school.
Experience.
Right.
Yeah,
he had a lot of experience. So I think he knows the game well enough to scout and look for talent. Right.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm going to say something to you, Gary. And you know, like they always say, many true words spoken to a joke. It's possible that I know that Coach, this is his last year. I'm going to honestly say that. Do you think
yeah.
by some crazy, you know, in the tuition or something, that Doug Wim move into the head coaching position for
Ooh.
The Washington
now
team?
That's a good one.
Think about
that's
that.
Now,
you know, now think
that
about it. Yeah, I mean, look at the dynamics of this now, right? Now, also you have to look at, is it a dog and pony show? I hope not. But don't put the person in a position of authority and he not make decisions.
Right.
That's the key
exactly.
to it, too.
Exactly.
Now, we know for years, and you know, I know Bobby Mitchell, good friend of mine, you know him. He had no authority.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
No authority.
Exactly.
And that was the sad part of it, what they did to him. A lot of people didn't understand and didn't realize he was just a figurehead. They had to do something with him because, and not saying because I know his son and as well, I just think that everybody look back and say, Miles was right. And they move him in because Cousin was a waste of money. Now, you done gave this guy $44 million for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's no better than the two backup quarterbacks they had. So why you give him this money and waste it because the arrogance of that head coach, that's why this is happening. Kirk Cousins is a good backup quarterback. He will take you between the 20s, but he's not someone will take you the distance.
202-889-9797. Is Doug Williams being groomed to be the next head coach of the Washington football team? Give us your thoughts on that, because that's a very interesting situation
it
there.
Is.
Because, again, you have Doug Williams who had that, even though he doesn't have, well, he does have some NFL assistant coaches.
Right,
absolutely.
He does
exactly. Absolutely.
So, you know, he's got the experience and the credentials necessary to take this job.
Bold move.
And
it would be a great move.
And the fans love him, right?
And the fans love him.
He's
beloved in the area. I mean, he did something that no other quarterback has done in a Super Bowl, and definitely the first African-American quarterback mm-hmm. to win a Super Bowl. I mean, he's got so much of the history with him.
Right.
That would be an interesting move, and it would be
remember,
a nice look for the Washington football team to do that.
And think about it. It came from inside the MFL.
No question.
And also, I just want to point out, also think about this. Just think about this for a moment. Now, Doug Williams, I remember when they won the first Super Bowl, and one of these crazy reporters, I think you remember this, asked Doug Williams how long he's been a black quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that the craziest thing you ever heard? Now, a lot of people don't realize that. Kelsey Nelson, I think you might have been a little young when you heard that.
Like what happened?
Was that crazy? That would throw me off. But somebody asked, well, I've been black all my life. You just realizing
how
that?
How can you answer that?
You know, but that's what Doug told him. Well, I'm been black all my life.
What and that's where the NFL was at that time.
Right.
And quite frankly, many people believe that's where the NFL is at this time, which is scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at another African-American quarterback in Colin Kaepernick.
We want him. The MFL is wanting him. We just letting everybody know we want him. Now, don't forget now, Garrett,
mm-hmm.
although powers to be stopped this move, well, don't forget when the MFL offered Michael Vick a contract.
Right.
You know, see, a lot of people don't remember that, but all you got to do is, hey, Google it and find out. You remember that guy?
Yeah, I do.
Now,
I
we
do.
Tried to get him. All we're saying is, if you're not, the NFL is trying to move most of the players from the field to the front office.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great opportunity for, you know, they're not going to have but so many black coaches there. What, we got two in the NFL?
Right.
Okay, we got 32 teams looking for coaches. Okay, GMs. So that's what the NFL brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
The fact you got all Americans, you still have ball players. Now remember, that's why the NFL stands for not for long. You still have a lot of ball players can play that get the short end of the stick in the NFL. And I tell people all the time that the NFL, you know it and I know it, the NFL is the big boys in town. So they feel they can do what they want. You know, you got a lot of players don't have an opportunity because they feel there's nowhere else to play. The NFL is here. Now, remember, if you don't learn by history, history will repeat itself.
No
don't
question.
Forget Lamar Hunt, when he tried to bring the Kansas City Chiefs in there, and the NFL told him no.
Right.
But when the AFC started beating the NFL, what they say? We better merge this.
It emerges, yeah.
You know, yeah. So I tell people all the time, and a little something from a meeting that a lot of people don't know about, that the NFL and the MFL did meet.
Mm-hmm.
And what I told them when one of the VPs asked me, are y'all trying to be like the NFL? I said, no, you who you are and we who we are. But I'll say this to you. We could possibly beat the other league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't be misled by this, because you got thousands of players in the country. All Americans don't even get drafted. Am I right or wrong? So where do these players go, Gary?
Yeah.
Where do they go?
They go to the MFL.
You know, the MFL is here.
Yeah. Yep. 202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. Grab a line and join us right here on Inside the MFL. And speaking of cousins, one of his relatives made some news this week.
Oh, yeah.
And that is...
Yeah.
That is the cousin of Kirk
Cousins. Give everybody money. Just give everybody money in D.C.
who has been signed by the Washington Nationals of Major League Baseball. He's a pitcher. And just 20 years old, so chances are he won't be on the big club anytime soon. But
Gary, to cut you off for a minute, don't mean to cut you off. Mm-hmm. Where do you think he's going to end up at? The minor leagues.
Definitely.
The baseball minor leagues. So you tell me that this is not very important for the NFL, but then again, they see the value in the MFL. But this kid going to get his money. You know it, not know it, but he will not be on that roster, but he'd be playing for one of the minor league teams.
Oh, no question.
Am I right or wrong?
You'll probably see him at the Potomac Nationals. I mean, so he may be in the area playing Class
Absolutely.
A ball for a little bit, and we'll see what happens from there.
Give everybody
pretty
some
much.
Money.
We're excited to see that. And also, let's go back to Kirk Cousins, because he made headlines because he met recently with our President Trump, and they went golfing together.
Okay.
It's been a lot of talk about this. I mean, was that a good move? Of course, this being the DMV area, and we know how the DMV voted in the last political election. Obviously, there was a lot of naysayers, but then, of course, there were also the strong Trump supporters, you know, who thought it was a great move, that they're golfing buddies that we found out recently.
Oh, boy.
Well, we knowing that the president plays a little bit too much golf, we'll move on from that. But speaking of which, apparently, you know, we just crowned two new team champions this week. The Warriors apparently are saying they don't want to come.
Right, to the White House, yeah.
The White House. The Penguins are coming. The Pittsburgh Penguins just won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
They're coming.
Right.
And so, and then you had the Patriots, who some of the players didn't come, some did.
Right.
So,
it's a huge
this
debate.
Is a whole
yeah.
This is a whole new
exactly
era we're in right now.
Right.
Where it's not as big a deal as it used to be.
Right.
For some people, primarily because of political thoughts.
Right.
That coming to the White House is not a big deal anymore. And that, to me, is sad.
It's crazy, right? Because think about it. I mean, I went to the White House when the teams went under President Obama.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And it was huge.
I remember.
I mean, they bring their kids, their families, their wives are excited. I went last time when the Chicago Cubs were there, and it was a huge deal, right? Because it was the last team that President Obama welcomed. And as we all know, he asked them to come earlier, and they accepted. Now, there was
from Chicago, it made sense.
Right, being from Chicago, exactly. Even though Michelle's also, obviously, even though she was a White Sox fan, but she still came out, greeted them, and most of them came. Now, big name that didn't come, I remember, was Jake Arrieta. And I wrote an article about that, why he didn't come. So, as we know, usually when they don't come, they say somebody's sick in their family. It's kind of not saying that nobody wasn't sick, but obviously, it really became a political statement, and he got a lot of hate and love for not going to see President Obama. But like you said, nowadays, I mean, the Warriors, as soon as they win the championship, one of the first questions they're asked is, are you going to the White House? That's how you know we're in a new era of sports, because you can't even celebrate without people getting political now. And that's why I hate when people say athletes shouldn't have political thoughts. It's hand in hand now. It is. I mean, it's been hand in hand, but now I'm happy that it's being more accepted into it, because obviously Steve Kerr has spoken out openly against President Trump.
As has Greg Popovich.
Yep, as has Greg Popovich. Right, we have two huge basketball names speaking out against the president. Mm-hmm. And as we know, President Trump, you know, he also is in the sports world, because we know he's good friends with the Patriots organization.
There you go. There you go.
I know he's in.
But let me say this to you also. Tom Terrific didn't come. You notice that?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And some are saying, though, he just don't want to get in that political.
Exactly.
Some athletes don't want that political awareness with them, because it can kind of hurt you in ways, right?
I go back a few years. 1985, I was actually interning at Voice of America here in Washington. And I was at the White House when the Lakers came in 85. And the smiles on their faces, I mean, Jabbar and Magic, and it was amazing to see, you know, their joy at being there, regardless of who the president was. It was Reagan at the time.
Right.
And regardless of that, it was major for them to be there.
Right.
And I think all the players were there. All members of the Lakers staff were there. And I just don't see that now. And it's sad that you don't see it.
Right, because, I mean, that's part of the huge thing of winning the championship, right? It used to be, we're going to the White House. So many people don't get to go to the White House at all.
Mm-hmm.
Being an athlete or a regular human being, but then yet alone to go to it, meet the president, get honored on national television. I mean, it's supposed to be a huge deal. So that just tells you, I mean, all roads are kind of leading to Washington now. Every championship we see, we know that one reporter is going to ask that question. Mm-hmm. Are you going to the White House? And I'd like to see if this continues, you know, based on our next presidential election, to see, you know, if it's the same outcome.
It's almost the equivalent to the Super Bowl question, are you going to Disney World? You
know? That's what it's become.
You know, they don't say that no more.
Are you going to the White House?
Yeah.
I'm going to the White House.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not
202-889-9797. 202-889-9797. Join us right here in the Wayne Moments here on Inside the NFL. And just a lot of stuff going on. Baseball coming up.
Have to go back to baseball.
Yeah, Chris Singleton.
Yes, Chris Singleton got drafted.
Yeah.
And of course, if you guys don't know this story, almost 2 years ago to the day, he's the son of one of the Charleston 9 shooting victims. So if you guys remember the story,
Dylan
Roof,
I remember that was
who
sad.
Went to the South Carolina church and shot the people who were praying, prayed with them first, and then killed them. He is the son of one of the people that got shot. Her name is Sharonda Coleman Singleton. And it was a huge deal, because not that he was drafted high, he was drafted very low, in fact, but it's just kind of amazing, you know, where he's come. And that kind of ties back into political beliefs as well, because we know he had political beliefs, and some people think it was, you know, motivated politically. But him being drafted, I mean, I loved how it was one of the top stories on SportsCenter. Like, that just tells you, you know, how big it was. And, I mean, just thinking about that and seeing where he's come now and, you know, gets a chance to play in the major leagues or minor leagues, it's huge.
It's a beautiful story. And that's, and if nothing else, that's what watching those draft shows do. My wife always gets on me, why you watch that show?
Right.
It's just boring and it goes through all day. And that's one of the reasons why. Because a lot of them have great stories to some of
the
players.
Right.
And you just sometimes, and sometimes, unfortunately, one of the stories is that players who we think are going to get drafted don't.
Right.
And that's always a tough story to watch, but it's a part of it. And that's what makes those shows exciting. I happened to watch a little bit of the MLB draft this year, this past week. And again, to see some of these names that, you know, I'd never heard of, again, they all had a lot of them had great
stories. Right.
And they unlike the big drafts like the NFL and the NBA draft, you know, they don't do it as big a production as some of them, but it's still to see some of these guys. I know one guy got drafted in the first round of the MLB draft, and he had such a stoic face. It's like he, I won't say, it looked like he expected it. Okay. But it was just weird. He showed very little emotion. No, I was worried about that. I wonder what's going on with that.
I feel like baseball is different. You know, you can't really. I feel like you don't know your position as well,
right?
Such as in other sports. But
and a lot of them were drafted in different positions. Like, I know one guy was drafted. He was a big pitcher in high school, but he ended up being a first baseman.
Right, and we know in baseball that's common.
That's always common.
Especially
yes.
The bigger you get,
as it is common being drafted from high school, which is another common. Another story for another time, because a lot of people think we should go back to that in basketball. I don't agree with that.
No.
And speaking of which, college basketball,
yes.
Big story out of Louisville.
Yes.
And Kelsey, you might want to go into this because I have a lot of thoughts about this
story.
Okay,
so yeah. I'll set you up, Gary, because
yeah,
I'm sure
do.
We all have a lot of thoughts on this. So college basketball fans, as we know, March Madness is one of our favorite times.
No question.
This time next year during March Madness, one of those teams, you know, they're kind of getting hurt at the beginning of the season, and that is Louisville. If you missed it, I don't know where you've been. You must have been under a rock, but the NCAA released their official decision on Louisville. And basically, Louisville will get 4 years probation. Coach Rick Pitino and his team suspended the first five games of ACC play for this season. If you don't know the story, basically there was a prostitution scandal with a former director of operations for the basketball team, in which a lady who later wrote a tell-all book basically said, she was paid, even included her own daughters to have sexual acts with players and recruits to get them to go to Louisville. They would dance for them and have sex with them sometimes.
Right.
And surprisingly, you know, I watched Coach Rick Pitino's reaction to the story. And one of the things he said is, this is over the top. It's not even conceivable what I just read. So basically he said he's going to keep on doing what he's been doing and be a leader. And, of course, they're going to appeal the decision.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to let you get into this, Gary,
get out of it. You know, Gary, this is something not new, been going on for years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that is actually right. It has been going on for years.
Right.
It's all been undercover for the most part.
All the time.
It is.
Might lose their title from 2013.
It's sad.
It's huge.
I mean, Rick Pitino, on the surface, and again, you take his record just as it is,
right,
both at Louisville and at Kentucky. I mean, and you go even further back to Providence and other places he's been.
Right.
The only place where he really wasn't overly successful was in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's a great coach.
Right.
I think one of the things that he was trying to say, that he had no knowledge of it.
Right.
If you're a head coach in today's
he knew about
NCAA basketball, you know everything that's going on.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay? And this is the problem I have not only with Rick Pitino, but also Roy Williams over in North Carolina. I mean, for him not to know there was this major academic schedule, scandal there, and he not know about it, something's wrong there.
Right.
How he gets just five games, Pitino gets just five games, is beyond me.
Five games.
That's ridiculous.
We know how long the college basketball season is.
Yeah, exactly.
Five
we're talking 30,
like
32. You know, depending on how far you go in the NCAA tournament, we're talking 40 games sometimes.
Right.
And that's just ridiculous. And I know that if it happened in a mid-major or a low-major Division I club, the club would almost, the team would almost get the death penalty.
It'd be death penalty.
And if nothing else, the coach would get the death penalty. He or she'd be gone for the rest of the year.
Right.
And that's a problem I have with that. And it's major, Kelsey.
You want to go, Miles?
Yeah.
I know you have some thoughts.
I absolutely. You know, having the opportunity to be a former athlete, you know, Arizona State, and this goes on. For people to say they don't know what's going on, come on. I'm just curious to find out who snitched. Somebody get ready to write a book and make some money.
She already did.
You
know,
so
the reason
that's
they found out,
about.
If you don't know the story, is that she wrote a book, basically.
What did I say?
She
it had to be a
former
snitch.
Director of Operations, Andre McGee, who was a former player.
She's snitching.
Mm-hmm. And she talked about their relationship and how he paid her over $10,000 over 5 years for activities with members of the team. So actually, believe it or not, it would have been hush-hush had she not decided to write a book, but someone got in her ear, told her, you could be making a lot more money than Louisville.
That's why I say somebody getting paid.
And she went on television about it, too.
Right, went on television.
Went on television about
it. And then, of course, the NCAA had to do something because the whole world knew about it. And, of course, Louisville is such a strong basketball program, has been for a long time. But I like what you guys said. I mean, it happens. And this is not the only instance.
They're going to get away with it.
And it's not the last thing we're going to hear. But I know people do have problem with the NCAA, because it's always some different suspensions depending on the school, the coach. I just watched the documentary Disgraced, and I mean, that was another huge example. And Baylor, I mean, let's talk about Baylor. Baylor's in the news all the time for something.
Wow.
It's sad that now, I mean, it's scary to me, especially, like, you send your kids off to school now, and you really don't know what's happening, you know, in these recruiting practices and stuff like this.
Here's the thing. Sports in general seem to be reactive.
I agree with that.
They're not
proactive at all.
And you go back, I mean, you talk about documentaries, a great documentary that the 30 for 30 crew did on SMU and how they got to Southern Methodist University.
Killed the school.
Pony XS.
Yeah.
And the things they did, not only did they do, but all the schools in that league at that time.
Right. Everybody.
No longer exists. Right. But SMU did it better.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it boiled down
UNLV.
To.
UNLV. I mean, there's so many examples of it happening again.
And the NCAA then reacts to what's going on instead of putting down rules and regulations that stop these things from happening in the first place.
Absolutely.
And therein lies the problem. And it's scary sometimes. And if you look at it even on a lesser scale, here's how it's crazy. Out of the 11 teams that are in the Mideastern Athletic Conference, for those who don't know what the Mideastern Athletic Conference, that's the conference of historically black colleges and universities, including Howard University, Morgan State, Coppin State, Delaware State, North Carolina A&T, all the way down to Savannah State, who's leaving the conference at the end of this coming year. Out of those 11 schools in the conference, seven of them are not eligible this coming fall to win the MEAC football championship.
That's terrible.
And that's a story enough people aren't talking about.
Exactly.
And it's crazy sad, like you said, but that's for different reasons. It wasn't as crazy as the stuff we're hearing.
Well, it is in a way, because you have a lot of schools that just not doing it in the classroom.
Right. And that's unfortunate. Yeah, a student athlete.
And unlike North Carolina, they're being caught.
Right.
Yeah.
They're getting caught. Right. And it's not really snitching per se, because no one's saying to the media that this is happening.
It's about they're just being paid.
Caught. Yeah, so that's what this is. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And I mean, Miles, you said you were a college athlete. I mean, give us some background. Tell us a little bit about your college career.
We got about a minute and a half.
And how it led to the NFL. Your final thoughts on this topic.
Well, out of Arizona State, we ain't do no wrong. Everything was strictly by the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we didn't have that kind of those type of problems. But I can identify that these types of things do happen. And it's just a matter of who get caught. It's always been that way. Mm-hmm. You know that girl. You know that Kelsey. So, I mean, hey, who get caught? Look at Penn State. What happened up there for years. And they not know that was going on.
There's so many. It's bad.
And they're making a movie of that one.
And not know it was going on. Come on now.
That's it. It's ridiculous. So, again, just a lot of things going on in the world of sports. And, of course, inside the NFL, we'll talk more about some of the great things that are going to be happening with the Modern Football League right here on WEAC Radio. So join us each and every Friday right here on Inside the NFL. And we'll talk about all the world of professional sports and amateur sports, as well as the inner workings of the Minor Football League. For our host, Richard Miles, and for Kelsey Nicole Nelson, I'm Gary Digital Williams, saying so long. Thanks for joining us, and join us again next week for another edition of Inside the NFL. Take care, everyone.
Do something.
NFL with your host Richard Miles and former Washington Redskins defensive back Fred Smoot. Tune in each week for sports talk and more. Join Richard and Fred, along with guest hosts Gary Digital Williams, Kelsey Nelson, and Robert Gatewood, as Inside the NFL brings you sports information and updates, the plays, the players, both on and off the field. That's each Friday, 7 p.m., Inside the NFL with Richard Miles and Fred Smoot with sports talk and more. Richard Miles and Fred Smoot, Inside the NFL, themfl.org. I'ma keep on running, 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.